Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard here to Fox Sports On The Road here on Fox Sports New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. A lot going on in the sports world. We got the second half of the baseball season getting underway. We got NFL training camps just around the corner. A lot to discuss on the program today. We're going to dig right into it. Also, towards the end of the show, we got a special guest. We're going to have Jason March of DraftKings Casino in New Jersey, because they had a couple of people from New Jersey win big. We're going to talk to him about that a little bit later on. But first of all, let's kick this off. And the second half of the baseball season, as I said, is underway. The Yankees are in Colorado this weekend to take on the Rockies. Right now they are coming into Friday's action. They were 7 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays for first place. They're about a game back behind the Toronto Blue Jays for a wild card. 49-42, certainly this first half of the year has been a total underachievement for the Yankees, for a team that expects to not just go to the playoffs, but to compete for and even win a World Series. And a lot of that's because this offense has been a problem. Yes, the Yankees have, you could say the Yankees have issues in the pitching department. They certainly do from the starting rotation standpoint. Behind Gerrit Cole, there's been a lot of inconsistency from that standpoint. But the offense has been the biggest problem for the Yankees all year, and a lot of that having to do with the fact that there is no Aaron Judge in the lineup. And we still don't know when Aaron Judge is going to be back in this lineup. And you take a look at the July stats, and you take a look at the numbers, they don't lie. This Yankee team over the last 2 months hasn't hit the ball at all. Hit only .208 in the month of June, .227 so far in the month of July, and they felt they needed to make the move, make the change, and bring in Sean Casey, who, let's be fair, let's be honest, has never coached before, to be their hitting coach. Now, Casey, of course, brings a tremendous baseball resume as a player. Great player with the Cincinnati Reds, played parts of seasons with the Detroit Tigers and the Boston Red Sox, as well towards the end of his career, a .302 hitter in his career lifetime. One of the great players of the late 90s, early 2000s, was Sean Casey. And, of course, that connection that he has with Aaron Boone, coming here not just bringing a little more energy to the clubhouse, okay, but also bringing a familiar face. Of course, a lot of these players either remember him as that player or remember him as a television analyst with the Major League MLB Network. He is going to command instant respect. Now, the question is going to be, how is he going to work as a hitting coach? It's a very complicated job. The one thing that he did answer, and I thought was a really great answer about managing or coaching, not just as a player and trying to connect with players from a very simple standpoint, but also being able to access the information from the analytics department and being able to juggle that. That's going to be the biggest challenge. He gave a very nice response to that. Let's take a listen to it.
I think sometimes it gets lost that, you know, we think that the term analytics is a new thing. It's not. Like, when I played, for the years that I played, I got a huge advanced scouting packet. I knew I could still go to an iPad or video underneath right after an at-bat, check out how guys pitch me. I could go to the chart and find out when that lefty comes in to face me in the seventh, he throws 72% two-seamers, and he's going to try and wipe me out with a two-strike slider. Like, there was analytics all the time when I was playing. So, like, some of the numbers, they don't intimidate me because I know them a lot. And there's also newer numbers of analytics that don't intimidate me because I know them, especially from the network. So, and I do think you can't just in this game come in it as an old school guy. You have to, I will come into it with my old school approach, but also the new school approach of analytics. You'd be crazy not to take the information. You'd be crazy not to take the scouting reports from some of these guys that are so brilliant that I've talked to on some of these calls with the Yankees. All the camera angles that I've looked at, like, there's like 25 camera angles. I don't know if the Yankees are the only one doing it, but it's incredible that I can watch Aaron Judge from the right, left, the top, bottom, center field, behind the dish. You know, I think I'd be crazy not to use the resources that are going to be put right in my lap. And I think the one thing, though, as a hitting coach, it is tough. Some of my best hitting coaches kept it simple with the information that I needed to be the best version of myself. That's one thing I want to connect with the guys with. I want to connect with the guys and find out, what information do you need? I don't want to just give you all the information that you have, and it's like drinking out of a fire hose, you know what I mean? Where you're like, whoa, this is too much. I want to know what these guys need. I want to get them all the information they need. And then I want to make sure that you know, that we're also making sure that we're seeing the ball, that we're hunting the heater or whatever these guys' approach is, and that we're making sure that we're taking care of our process visually so we can be the best team we can be.
So that's going to be the big challenge. Can Sean Casey help get this offense moving as a hitting coach? And again, it's all going to come down to the players. We could talk about what can coaches do. You always hear the old refrain that hitting coaches can be kind of overrated. I tend to agree with that at times, but this is going to be a very intriguing situation here with Sean Casey now here. Now, I will say this. The one guy that's kind of turned things around offensively for the Yankees is Anthony Volpe. He was hitting .265 going into the All-Star break in the month of July. Had a few home runs, 4 RBIs. He's starting to turn the corner offensively. But question is, can everybody else join the pack? Anthony Rizzo is hitting only .156 in the month of July. Gleyber Torres hitting .275, respectable, but again, only 4 RBIs to show for it. Giancarlo Stanton hitting only .222 in the month of July after hitting only .145 in the month of June. Josh Donaldson, who had 12 RBIs in the month of June, is only hitting only .182 in the month of July. Can the Yankees get these veteran players, all-star players, in the case of a Stanton or a Rizzo, borderline Hall of Fame players, to start hitting again? That's going to be the big question for the Yankees moving forward as they try to make something happen here in the second half. It's right there in front of them. As I said, you want to forget the AL East for a moment, because Tampa Bay and Baltimore are fairly far ahead. Now, again, the Yankees are in an impossible situation, 8 games back, but they got to climb 3 teams to get to the top of the division. The wild card is a little more realistic. And the question is going to be, you know, what did the Yankees do as far as the trade deadline? A lot of speculation. We had Derek Jeter going on and speculating that, hey, maybe the Yankees should trade for Juan Soto. Maybe they should. There's now speculation that maybe the Yankees will be a player for Shohei Ohtani, which would be, either move would be obviously instant boost to the Major League club, but it would cost the Yankees dearly in prospects. I could see the Yankees making a move. I don't know if that's the move they're going to make to go get a Shohei Ohtani. I mean, you're talking about possibly letting go of Volpe, letting go of somebody like Austin Wells or Jason Dominguez, you know, some of these top prospects that have been in the Yankees farm system, to go get that kind of player. And in the case of Ohtani, you know, he's a free agent at the end of this season. There's no guarantee he's going to sign a contract. You know, if you're going to make that deal, if you're Brian Cashman making that deal, I want to know Shohei Ohtani is going to sign on the dotted line long term before I ever make a deal like that. So we'll see how things play out here for the Yankees over the next several weeks. It's going to be very interesting. The other team in town, New York Mets, right now, you know, they had a nice 6-game winning streak going towards the break. Then they dropped 2 straight games to San Diego. And right now, really find themselves in the exact same position they were when they started that 6-game winning streak. They're behind a lot of teams. They're 7 games out of the wild card. Forget the division. They're 18 games out of the division right now. The Mets, though, seem destined or focused on not tearing things down. Buster Olney of ESPN reporting the other day that the Mets are not going to tear this team apart, and they want to see if they can make a push here over the next few weeks here, a couple weeks before the August 1st trade deadline. In my mind, while it was nice to see the Mets win 6 in a row there, including sweeping the Arizona Diamondbacks, the reality is this team is probably not going to make the playoffs. All right? They not only have to climb over San Francisco, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, San Diego, even the Cubs for that matter, just to have a chance at that wild card. And they're still 6 games under .500 out of the Mets. They haven't even gotten to .500 yet. While there were some encouraging signs, obviously Francisco Lindor hitting the baseball incredibly well going towards the All-Star break. So Daniel Vogelbach hitting the baseball with a little more authority. Even Starling Marte was getting some hits. Francisco Alvarez, the catcher, has been incredible. Big home runs in Arizona, big home runs in San Diego over the last week. So, yes, the Mets have hit better, but there's still concerns about the pitching. The bullpen is still a problem for them. You don't know what you're going to get out of Scherzer and Verlander on any given day. Well, I will admit that Verlander has pitched better of late over his last handful of starts. I mean, over his last three starts, Justin Verlander has only given up 2 earned runs. He's pitched much better of late. But again, you really don't know what you're going to get from him one start to the next. And you certainly don't know what you're going to get from Max Scherzer one start to the next. And there's always the potential that if the Mets do completely fall out of it, do they consider shopping one of those two guys or both of them? They both have no trade clauses in their contract. To me, I think the Mets, from the betterment of the franchise, are better off trying to trade some of their veteran talent, whether it be a Starling Marte, whether it be a Tommy Pham, whether it be a Marcana, and get some prospects in return. I think part of the reason why the Mets are reluctant, there's two things. One, they don't want to give up too quickly because they spent so much money on this team over the last 2 years. They spent more money than anybody in baseball going into this season. Okay, at $356 million payroll, it's crazy. And two, there's been so many rumors about what the Mets are going to do as far as president of baseball operations. The rumors that of David Stern coming in here to be the new president of baseball operations for the Mets, former executive with the Brewers. Maybe they don't want to make all those kind of moves, make all kinds of big trades until they have that person, the president of baseball operations, in place. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's part of it. And they can't make that happen until the end of the season anyway. But to me, when you take a look at this team, when you take a look at reality, it's going to be very hard to picture the Mets getting themselves back into things and making a serious push for a wild card. Would love to see it, but it's going to be very, very difficult. Changing things up here just a little bit. Speaking of things getting interesting, the couple of big moves in the National Football League for the local teams for both the Jets and the Giants. We'll start with the Giants. Right now in a contract standoff with Saquon Barkley, as Barkley wants a long-term deal. The Giants, of course, franchise tagged him, meaning in the offseason, meaning he was only going to get about $10 million this year. And if they'd make that franchise tag again next year, he gets an additional $12 million in 2024. But he wants a long-term deal. And last I heard, he wanted about $16 million per year. The Giants were offering $13 million per year. The Giants have also put on the table $19.5 million in guarantees, which is a little bit below the $22 million that the Giants would have to pay him if they just franchise tagged him over the next two seasons combined. So Barkley wants a big deal. So obviously Barkley feels a little bit jilted. He has threatened to sit out the entire season, and the Giants and the Barkley have until Monday at 4 p.m. to make this happen. For me, my opinion, they've got to find a way to get Barkley back in here. And we're starting to see a trend in the NFL where teams are willing to move on from running backs, no matter how good they are. Because, again, the running back position, it may not have, let's say, the value that it once did, certainly 20 years ago. Certainly 20 years ago, maybe even 25 years ago. This is a passing league now, and everything's predicated on the quarterback play. And if you're going to have running backs, you're going to have multiple backs in your backfield. You're going to be swinging them out as receivers. That's the way the game is now. And Barkley hasn't always been healthy. So the Giants are offering him right now, $19 million guaranteed, as well as $13 a year. For a player who's had only two great years in his career and has been battling injuries in between those 2 years, to me, if you're Saquon Barkley and you're the Giants, you got to find a way to come in the middle, meet in the middle somewhere. You know, $14.5 million a year, maybe. Okay, maybe the Giants should bump up the $19.5 million to just $20 million guaranteed. Meet in the middle. Find a way to compromise and get the job done. Barkley is, when he is healthy, as we saw last season, is still a very dangerous running back coming out of that backfield, and he accounted for a large portion of that Giant offense last year. They've got to find a way, both sides have to find a way, to get the deal done. because you see right in the market, you see guys like Josh Jacobs and Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook all getting released, and they still can't find contracts. If you're Saquon Barkley, you don't want to join those guys right now. You have a franchise tag at the very least. Find a way to make it happen. Find a way to make it happen because, again, if he sits out the year, that hurts his value going into next year as well. Now, on the flip side, the Jets, they signed Quinnen Williams to a long-term contract, $96 million, $66 million guaranteed. He's now the second highest paid defensive tackle in the National Football League behind Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams. Look, the Jets had to get this done. One, if you want to just go with the conspiracy theories of, hey, look, the Jets are on Hard Knocks and they want to get away from the, they don't want to have a distraction on Hard Knocks. That's obvious. But the fact is, this was a player who has been very important to this Jets team. He was a key cog to their defense last year, a big reason why they were fourth in the NFL in total defense last season. Had to sign Quinnen Williams to a long-term contract. So congratulations to the Jets, Joe Douglas, Quinnen Williams, to get that deal done, avoid the holdout, and now the Jets go into training camp really with a full allotment, a full roster, and the focus now is just trying to get ready for the season and seeing how Aaron Rodgers can mesh with this offense at quarterback. That's the big story going into the training camp for the Jets, and that's really what the story should have been all along. So a good job on the Jets to get that done. Take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have our special guest from DraftKings, Jason March. We're back after this.